Lord, into your divine holy presence. And Lord, I think about the scripture in Hebrews that I was sharing at Banfield. Lord, that we can come with confidence into your holy presence, knowing that you have already experienced all the things, Lord, that we would understand. And Lord, you sympathize and you're there for us. And that wonderful word means not only to have confidence, but it means to have freedom of speech. And I'm so grateful, Lord, that you don't quarantine our words, you don't screen them. You allow us to say exactly what's in our soul, because it is the truth that will set us free. Not lying to ourselves and not lying to you, but saying it just as it is. And then you come in and you sweep it all away. We thank you so much for your grace. And we thank you, Lord, that we can come and we should come just as we are, and to let the Holy Spirit do the work and clean us into your presence. We thank you so much for that tonight, Lord. And I pray for those that are not here, for Janet, Lord, who's under the weather, for Chris, who's been having trouble with her leg and all of that that's going on. And Lord Jesus, we just pray for your blessing and touch upon each of these ladies. Minister to them as only you can. And then, Lord, I pray for this time as we share out of your word and out of the history of the culture of this world. God, may your culture, may your life far be superior in our minds to anything this world has to hold. Lord, then bless our time when we pray. May you be glorified in all that is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. The history of Halloween. Okay. Growing up, what was the most important thing in Halloween? Costumes. See? You have a costume. And I remember they'd say, make sure you make it cut it out in the eye so you can see. Because, you know, people banging into walls. You know, they can't see anything. You know? Then I had my mom at the end of the street waving like Granny Clampett, you know, going, I'm going to pretend I don't know her. My friends are out here. I can't help it. Then I got this number years ago because it just cracked me up. Halloween, I'm in it for the candy. And it used to have I haven't worn it for years because I don't think of it. But anyway, it had a little light in it so it would light up when you put it on. So kids would see I'm in it for the candy, and which is why I didn't give it to them, and I kept it. Halloween. This is one of those topics that evokes a lot of opinion in the house of God, doesn't it? Now, we have to be real careful when we understand history of the world as well as scripture and what God intends, because if we take an extremist to some things, we wouldn't even celebrate Christmas. Do you know that? Most of it is not biblical. Now, that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with some of it. It just means you can't find a place in here to tell me where the tree came from, although I know it came from Germany. Does that mean I don't have a tree? Ha! I got a tree. If we remember to put it up, we'll have one too. One year, I didn't put one up, and these were the years when Vernita was going to Hutchinson, and my sister Jan came over. Christmas Eve, we come back from Christmas Eve activities. She goes, we got to put the tree up. I said, why? It's all over. I can't go to bed till I have the tree up. There we go. There we are. Ah. Anyway, the history of Halloween. The history. How many know it's important to understand history? Now, the reason it's important is because to understand kind of how it came together and really what Halloween is, it's not unlike Christmas in that respect, that there's a lot of pieces from different places that came together. It's kind of like the United States is called the melting pot, where everybody came from different countries. Well, different things came from different places, and it all landed in Minneapolis, Twin Cities area. And And we have it. And in our day, you could bring the candy to school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what you did was you ate other people's candy. So you'd have more at home. You know, my mama didn't raise a fool. But anyhow, some would say. So I'm going to give you a little history first, and then we're going to go into the scripture, because judge everything by the scripture. Absolutely. Now, the history of Halloween is primarily the history of harvest. And most harvest, most people and most history gives approximately the same kind of story. And I'm sure there's some variations here or there, but that's okay. That it started as an ancient Celtic festival called Samhain. And the way they pronounce it, S-O-W-I-N, they don't spell it that way, but Samhain, reminds me of sowing seed. That's why I think that's probably the right pronunciation. But what it was, it was the end of the harvest season, the time where the ancient pagans would take stock of their supplies and prepare for winter. Doesn't Proverbs 6 tell us, be like the ant that prepares and gets ready for the winter? So the idea of it is not necessarily bad, at least in this incarnation, we'll call it. Okay? And in conjunction, then there's the physical harvest, but then there's the spiritual one, because people always want to tack a spiritual purpose on top of something. And that's basically what's happened here. On October 31st, somebody somewhere along the line, probably somebody smoking something, determined October 31st was the time when the dead came back to life and crossed the boundaries of earth and heaven. I saw it on a show one time where a gal says, well, Halloween is for candy. And the goblins come back this way because they want candy. And the person said, well, why? And she said, there's no chocolate in hell. That's why it's hell. They got to come here to get chocolate. Okay. Anyway, I thought it was funny. Between the living and the dead, and it overlapped, and the dead came back here and caused havoc, primarily damaging their crops and bringing sickness. And if you know anything about farmers, if you destroy their crops and you destroy their health, they have no harvest, they have no future, because everything is tied up in the ground. So they're really afraid of that. And they feel they need some spiritual help to protect their property. So masks and costumes were an effort to ward off the evil spirits. You imagine that? Think they care? No. But that's what they did. To mimic or appease them. And it's amazing to me that people believe that. But you know, when you're losing your crop or your life is going apart, you get desperate and you start believing anything, right? Okay. So in the Encyclopedia Britannica, it says that this was also the one day where they could get the help of the devil. Now, why do you want to have the help of the guy that got kicked out of heaven? Why do you want to have the help of the one that is the originator of sin and pride and evil? Why would that help? This is parenthetically why, where people say, well, the devil can't heal. Yes, he can, because when he gives a sickness, he can remove it and make people think that follow this religion or follow this spiritism or follow this type of lifestyle, because if he can grab you that way, he's got you. So we have to be very discerning in our spirits about a number of things. That's not part of the message, but I throw it out because it's true. Halloween, a national holiday in Ireland. So they get everything, don't they? They get their day of green and then they get this. But at any rate, the festival, they also did something. They had bonfires to attract insects, because the insects would attract the bats, which, as you know, is a real
visual for what we understand as Halloween and spooks, you know, because they remind you of the night. Personally, I'm sure God had a reason for creating them, but they're just ugly and they're disgusting. We had one in our house growing up. My brother's running around like this with the sign of the cross. I said, I don't think he's a vampire. Jeez. But anyway, he locks us out of the house, so we can't get back in. But anyway, Scotland, the Isle of Man, and there's kindred festivals like this in Britain, so it's not that unusual. But it was originally to protect and to honor the harvest, which is great. Remember, we honor the land, but we don't worship it. This is the difference between any kind of Wiccan cults or anything else. They actually worship the ground, and they worship this world and its properties as something beyond what God created them to be. And we understand that. We were talking a couple of weeks ago about, you know, the Native Americans and worshiping the sun and the stars and all that. Same theory. Is you worship the creator, you don't worship the creation. Because there's going to be a day when all that creation falls apart, then what are you going to do? So that was part of it. The religious history of it as it continues, because if the enemy's going to try to grab people, he's going to do it in religion. He's going to do it in some type of spiritual understanding. Because he doesn't just want to affect you one day of the year in Halloween. He wants to grab you every day. Okay. Part of the history in the medieval Middle Ages is called souling, S-O-U-L-I-N-G, souling. This is when poor folk would go door to door on, they'd call it Hallowed Mass on November 1st. They would go door to door to receive food in return for the prayers for the dead for All Saints Day. So apparently they have nothing over on the JWs and some of the others that go to door to door. But this, you can see where the genesis of this would slide right down into going door to door to get your candy. And of course, it's not referred in here, but somewhere along the line, there was the tricks and the tricksters and all those kind of things that added into this. Pope Gregory III in 839 designated November 1st as a day to honor all the dead, the saints, and the martyrs. Do you pray to the dead? I don't. I pray to the living Christ. And it breaks my heart that people really believe that if they pray to the dead, they're going to respond. They can respond, especially if they're not in Christ. But you have to remember, if you wrap it up in a church tradition or any kind of religious observance, people think it has more sacredness to it. It'd be like taking something that was gold and beautiful and throwing garbage on it. You can't do that. And that's what they've done. There are some people that detected that it was the Roman feast of Pomona, which was the goddess of fruit and seeds or nuts. It's my old joke of California. Fruits, flakes, and nuts. But anyway, not really, because you guys aren't nuts. But keep in mind that along with an imagery that intended for the seed to go in again for the harvest, remember the one that did, the seed that went in the ground that died and resurrected, that's the one we follow. So the Lord gives us a little glimpse that throughout this entire history, the Lord, if people are watching and looking, they could understand that only Jesus is the one to follow because all the rest of the seeds are dead. Well, then, in the 19th century in Ireland, they would have candles lit and prayers formalized for the dead. And they still do that here, don't they? Now, we didn't have any of this over here during the, you know, times of our revolution and all of that. It came later in America. But they believed that the smoke and ashes from those bonfires would protect them and cleanse them. Well, fire is a cleanser in the hand of God, but not much a spiritual one in the hand of man. But again, you have all these ideas. People are looking for something to cleanse them. They're really looking for healing and restoration. no matter what. Then they would eat, drink, have games, and dig this one. Then they'd have rituals to divine whether they were going to get married, whether they were going to die. And I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive, but they put it in there. And other important things in your life. Is any different than the horoscope to you? You know that people follow that thinking it's going to tell them. Read five different ones. You'll have five different answers. That's what kills me. You'll meet somebody today. Well, that's a good likelihood. Yeah. I mean, gee whiskers. But this is what they would do. And then in about 1845, somewhere in there to 1852, the Irish potato famine happened. And a lot of these people moved that didn't die, moved to the United States. And their culture came with them. And their beliefs came with them. And around the same time, apparently, there was a real rise in spiritism and in spiritual belief in the dead. It probably started to multiply. So that's part of the history of it. There's a lot of different things that came out of it and came across. But basically, it's the harvest. And then they had to attack the religious significance on it. Praying for the dead, but you're afraid of the dead because the dead are coming back. Like the Night of the Living Dead, which I'm sorry is really bad makeup if you've ever seen it. But that's what they're looking for. How does a Christian respond to that? First of all, we don't pray to the dead. We pray to the only living person, who is Jesus Christ. Right? Secondly, we don't need masks to ward off the evil spirit. We need to have the face of Jesus, because that'll do the same. The face of Jesus is the one. That's the mask you need, because the devil doesn't like that face. And the other thing to really keep in mind here is we have to judge it according to the scripture. No question about it. So we got to balance this. In the Old Testament, the offerings and the festivals were what? They were created by God, correct? To ultimately show people who Jesus was. But what did people do down through the years? They made gods out of them. They made them more important than knowing God. They got lost in the festivals. They got lost in the offerings. And there are people in our day that are lost in all the liturgy of the church. You got people that are deader than a doornail right in the middle of having a baptism. Because their faith is in the baptism, not in Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead. So we have to be careful that even something that, whether it's the harvest or the festivals and the things that God created, which are wonderful, that we apply a significance to them that God does not. And that's the same in Halloween. We get it down to our day. It basically, they've removed most of it except for a lot of belief systems that actually do pray to the devil, that really do worship this earth, that actually do pray curses on people. And there are people that do that. And they use this day as their holy day, Halloween. So it's a great day to pray for people. Pray for salvation. Pray for holiness. Pray for all those things. But I want you to turn to Romans 14 for a second, because this is an important point in Scripture no matter where we're at. It's not what God gives, it's what we do with it that matters. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that don't even pay attention to what this stuff is. They say, what's wrong with worshiping the dead? Well, I got news for you. You're not really worshiping or talking to that dead person because the Bible forbids it. What you're really doing is talking to a demon. How many want to talk to a demon? I don't. If you think somebody in your family's had a bad mood for a long time, you ain't seen nothing yet. These guys have been really upset for a long time. Romans 14, I'm going to read the first 12 verses. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. We have that in our world, don't we? Okay, there are people that don't believe in eating meat. That's their right. It's also my right to have a nice hamburger. Pray for me when I eat it. But I don't judge them, and I pray that they don't judge me. Okay? The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not eat, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So one man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. And if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat, which is Sunday's message. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. There are people, now we'll just say alcoholics, okay, former alcoholics. They're more, as they should be, very concerned if they're around anybody that's drinking. That's why if you know somebody and they're coming to your house, do not let, if you have any, which that's up to you, I don't have any in my house, you don't let them even get near it. Because then you put a stumbling block in their way. It's very important. Even though you could say, well, I have the freedom to do it, and you do, it's not wise. And that's important. So 13 says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. In other words, Jesus, remember what he told Peter? Don't call unclean what I've cleansed. And if Jesus said it, you know that's the authority, the final authority. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for them it is unclean. In other words, if it's a difficulty for you and your conscience won't allow you to do it, then don't do it. If you don't want your children to go door to door, don't send them. Now, I know there's a lot of churches that do the Harvest Festival and all that kind of stuff. But if you wanted to be picky or extreme on it, you could also say, well, they were worshiping the harvest. I can't send my kids there either. I mean, this is where the Holy Spirit has to tell us individually. I don't, or and it could be this year I don't feel like I should. Maybe next year would be okay. You know, we just have to let the Holy Spirit tell us in some of these matters. As a church, we don't celebrate Halloween, obviously. You give candy to each other, God bless you. But it's not something that we would formalize at all. Nor do we, I mean, even though we celebrate Christmas, we certainly do not celebrate the fact that a lot of the stuff that happens and has happened through Christmas and because of it down through the years has not been godly. The day is not correct. A lot of the things are not accurate, but we celebrate the meaning. The problem with Halloween is while we can thank God for the harvest because we get food, other than that, and we can thank God the devil got trashed. That's a great thing to thank God for, you know, if you want to thank something on Halloween. But there's no greater good in the scripture to celebrate it. But if somebody's going to celebrate it, I'm not going to send them to hell for it. That's all I can tell you. I don't believe there's any kind of dictation in the discipline that tells us we have to go one way or another. But you go by your conscience. If it bothers you, don't do it. Don't live according to somebody else's conscience. And that goes through with anything, right? But if the Lord has just He just kind of grabbed you, then hold back. That's an important policy anyway. I want you to turn now to Colossians 2, 16 to 17. We always find our way back to Colossians. Great book. I love it. Actually, Colossians is probably one of the richest in the Bible. If you study it, you'll find that out. And this is pre-stated that having disarmed the powers and authorities in the 15th verse, he made a public spectacle of them triumphing over them in the cross. The worst thing the devil wants is to be exposed. That's why he tries to keep us in shame and keep us in darkness. Jesus publicly exposed him. I love it. But it goes on to say in the 16th verse, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. We've talked about this before with regard to Sabbath, that there are people that believe if you don't worship on Saturday, on Sabbath, you're going to go to hell. Well, that would be putting an additional requirement for your salvation. That's not scripture. And if people really believe that, they're in error, and they could be lost. I'm not saying all of them are, because I do believe there are Christians, but the belief system is not. You don't add anything to the cross. Because if you do, you're going to be found with none of it. So it says, whether it's a new moon celebration, and what do? They celebrated things according to where the moon and the different parts of the constellations, how they were formed. That's what they did. They just didn't worship him. They were an indicator, okay, this is the first part of the month, this is a time to celebrate God's goodness. But you didn't celebrate you didn't worship the moon. I mean, I know Ralph Cramden said to the moon, Alice, but I don't think that he really was going to give her a ticket there. You never know, though. He was sneaky that way. Have you found yourself as a Christian, even with people that are like-minded and very deeply walking with Christ, that there are some, and that it would never be on a crucial topic. It can't be about the blood of Christ. Can't be about the sovereignty of God. It can't be about the inerrancy of the Bible. But you've found other elements that maybe you don't agree with and that troubles you. Don't worry about that, because the Lord's taking us all on the road and the journey where we're at. And where we all come in is then we kind of rub up against each other, and the Lord takes his temple and he makes us stronger. Because otherwise, we'd go through life without any questions and without any prayer. What are the things in your life maybe that are the topics that you've had more of a problem with other people because the Lord's given you, you have a conscience about it in your sense, but they don't agree? Does it get in the way of your relationship? Shouldn't, but it can. What kind of topics would that be, do you think? Yep. Mm-hmm. That's a biggie. I think there are classes on that. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I heard many years ago, I can't take credit for it, but I liked it. He said, smoking won't send you to hell, it'll just make you smell like you've been there. I love it. What other? Yeah. Yeah, that's a biggie.
How you should dress in church.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. My favorite subject. Anything else? Cremation. Yep. And the thing is, they're all important issues in different ways. They just shouldn't separate us. They should send us to prayer and say, Lord, maybe right now this is for me. Maybe in 5 years I won't feel that way. But don't judge somebody else because of their beliefs. Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah, because you know, I mean, for the at least a good amount of people in the conservative church probably think most Democrats are going to hell. They do.
And yet many of our Wesleyan churches in the South are Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So some of it is just culture and where people land, you know, in their particular area of the country. But it is interesting. When they say, I want to be on the right or left hand, they're not talking about Democrats or Republicans anyway. So we have to be careful. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. People getting fist fights over that one. Mm-hmm. Yep. All kinds of stuff. Yep. And we have to respect the conscience of other people. Now, if someone just wants to argue about something, that's fine. I argued with somebody for 9 hours standing in my living room about once saved, always saved. Mm-hmm. Never took lunch. We just sat and debated. But in general, whether it's about Halloween or whatever it is, let's have the grace of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean we seek or worship the devil. Of course we don't. We do not. We do not support the pagan beliefs. But we do thank God he's given us this earth, and we pray for it because it gives us our food. So we want to keep the right heart. Any comments or questions on this topic of Halloween? Isn't it interesting, though, how starving in Ireland brings Halloween to our shores? And because of it, many, many people in today's world are feeding off of different kinds of earth religions and all kinds of different things. And they're actually starving to death. You know, so we pray for all the people that are obviously being deceived. And the devil likes the attention, so he's happy. So one day of the year, he's probably real happy. Only thing is, he can't really come back. You know, he's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere. So poo-hoo on him. Yeah. So any other comments? We're going to pray.